Listen very carefully as we read this, because I've read this so many times. And then once, you know, sometimes your stuff will start jumping off the page at you at some point. John chapter, this is the Gospel of John now, John chapter 16. And this is Jesus. Verse 4, but these things have I told you, that when the times shall come. Now remember, Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure. He was not designed to be here on earth forever. That is the Holy Spirit's job. Amen. He had a ministry. Matter of fact, his ministry did not take off until he was about 30 or so and got filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He was Jesus the whole time. But if Jesus needed the Holy Ghost, don't you think that us here at 2017 need the Holy Ghost too? Glory to God. And he went on to say, Jesus said, these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. In other words, who sent him? And where's the Father? So he let them know, you know, I'm about to be out. Glory to God. Going back to the Father. So he's getting them ready. He was not. It was not meant for him to be here forever. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, you sorrow, and sorrow have filled your heart. So in other words, they were lamenting the fact that Jesus was not going to be with them much longer. Amen. But look what Jesus told them in verse 7. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now, Jesus never lied, and I think he said that to arrest their attention. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is a very key statement he's about to say here. He says that it is expedient. Underline that word, expedient. That word means to your advantage or to our advantage. It is to our advantage that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And I start thinking about that for a while. So Jesus was saying here is that it is more important that the Holy Ghost be here with you than him, than Jesus himself. And I know of everybody, probably 100% of us in the room, if somebody would ask us, who would you like to be in your presence continually, Jesus or the Holy Ghost? Probably 100% of us will say Jesus. But Jesus was letting him know how God has set this ministry up, is that it is the Holy Spirit's job to be with us now, to teach us, to guide us, to bring us into relationship with God. In other words, Jesus' work was done. He came to seek and save those that were lost. He came to give his life so that we would wouldn't die. Talking about the second death. And so that we would be forgiven for sins, our bodies and minds will be healed, and that we would be prosperous. So, I mean, he came and did what he was supposed to do. But so do not underestimate the importance of the Holy Ghost, because Jesus was telling them here, it is far better. It is to your advantage that the Holy Ghost be here rather than me. And I had to read that several times to make sure I was hearing what I was hearing. Glory to God. So that's why sometimes it's good to look words up. Expedient, you know, also means better. There's one definition. It is to our advantage. It is more advantageous that the Holy Ghost be with us than Jesus. Wow. My. Why? Because that's the way God set it up. That's the way God set it up. Am I saying the Holy Ghost is more important? No, I didn't say that. I'm saying every God is a God of order. Jesus came and did what he did and left. And he was telling them, I'm going back. But I am not leaving you by yourself. Glory to God. Amen. That same comforter that he left with the disciples are here with us today. Glory to God. Look at your neighbor and say, aren't you glad? Amen. See, the problem is, and I'm chief among us, we have not valued the importance of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And that's about to change in Victory Church. Amen. We've got to value the importance of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Now, we all value Jesus, but we got to start valuing the Holy Ghost as well, saints of God. Amen. The eighth verse says, and when he has come, talking about the Holy Ghost, he is not it, he's he. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Not you, but the world of, not S-I-N-S, sin. And of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. Praise God. See, the only sin that sends the world to hell is rejecting or not receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. It's not about the dope you did. It's not about the men you slept with, the women you slept with, the money you stole, the lies you told. It's about, did you receive Jesus, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. You got to understand that. You know, you can get forgiven for all those things that I mentioned. But if you die without accepting Jesus, ain't no sense in leaving nothing in your will asking us to pray for you. It's wasted words. Your fate has been settled because you chose to reject Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, people come into church all the time, and I was one of them at one time. Come and hear the word of God and say, ooh, that was a good word, and walk right out the door. Amen. Not saved. And the most of the time that people will do it, what they'll tell you is, well, you know, everything you said was right, but I'm just not ready. So, you telling me you ready for hell then? See, all you got, you can't get ready on your own. You got to come to Jesus with all your shortcomings, all your lying, all your schemes, all your backbiting, all your lust, whatever it is you got in your heart, and the Savior will save you. You can't clean your own self up, because if we could do that, we God wouldn't have to send Jesus here. We could clean our own selves up. But we don't have the ability to do it. You'll be on the good foot for about 3 months, and then you'll fall. We need a Savior. You need a Savior. You cannot do it on your own, saints of God. Okay, how good you are. You say, well, Pastor, I grew up, I never cussed, dipped, spit, or chewed. Well, that's good. But you was born with a sin nature in your spirit. And you need a Savior to cleanse that spirit. Glory to God. So we got to understand that it ain't about your goodness. It's about the goodness of God. Let's go to Matthew, please. Amen. Well, wait a minute. Let me finish reading. I'm sorry. Let me finish reading John chapter 16. Go back to verse 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you will see me no more. Of judgment, And this is talking about the judgment of the world, because the prince of this world is judged. Amen. So there will be judgment, but the world will certainly have to give account as to why you didn't do what you heard. You know, because they will have heard the gospel. You can lie and say you didn't hear it if you want, but you probably can't even lie in God's presence. I think that, and I'm just guessing. This is nothing scriptural about this. This is from the book of C-Dub. So, but I believe that the presence of God is so strong that you can't lie. You might want to lie, but you can't lie. Glory to God. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Don't know that for sure. Thank you, Lord God. Matthew chapter 3. We've got to value the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're gonna read here about, and I said it a moment ago, but this is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. Now, Jesus did some marvelous things as a young boy. Remember, he was in the temple. He was teaching teaching the teachers. And so, I mean, he was always plugged into the Father, but his public ministry did not start until after what we're about to read here. Matthew 3, are we there? Verse 13. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias or Isaiah the prophet, saying, where am I? Oh, you know what? I'm reading the wrong thing. I was reading 4:13. Thank you. I was wide open too. Thank you, Lord. Oh, wow. This is the baptism of Jesus. And then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, and saying, I have need to be baptized of you. And cometh thou to me? In other words, him and John was cousins. And so John said, wait a minute. You know, you should be baptizing me. But verse 15, and Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, permit it to be so now, for thus it is becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered or allowed him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. That's where we get the little dove thing. He didn't say it was a dove, like a dove, and lighting upon him. And then verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven came saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Glory to God. In other words, he was here for all of those 39 or 38 years or whatever it was, not sinning, doing the Father's business. And so God said, hey, this is my Son. I'm well pleased with him. Now he's getting baptized with in water, and the Holy Ghost came upon him. Then his ministry took off. Amen. And some great things. And those, 3.5 years, whatever it was some great, great things that Jesus did up in the known world back then. Had them so worried that the whole government came against Jesus. Amen. He was just mighty when you start reading about what happened in Jesus' life. So once again, if Jesus needed the Holy Ghost, come on, saints of God, if Jesus needed the Holy Ghost, don't you think we do too? Amen. Just common sense. If you will say, I want to be like Jesus. Well, if you want to be like Jesus, then get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, you know, my grandmama said, well, read this to your grandmama. Glory to God. Amen. Now, remember, you know, we all love our grandmamas, but they don't know everything. Amen. The word, we got to go with the word. Now, don't be trying to check grandmama on nothing. You don't try to check her. You know, you got to honor the grandmama and the mama and the daddy. But you just know what the word of God says. Amen. Hallelujah. They'll see you changing and they'll get filled with the Holy Ghost. So what it was, see, and is, there was a unity. There is like a oneness between Jesus, God, and the Holy Ghost. There is this oneness. Go to John, the fifth chapter. It's just so unique, the relationship of oneness. Married couples, well, if you can get to that state of oneness, your marriage will withstand any and everything that come, if you can get that state of oneness. Now, if you're going to get there, you can't be selfish. It can't be all about you. You know, you got to have somebody pumping you up 24 hours a day and all of this. You know, you've got to be the pumper and the pumpee. Everybody got to do the pumping and everybody got to be the pumpee. So it's, getting pumped up. So don't let your relationships be one-sided all the time. Amen. Now, people are put up with it because, you know, they feel, well, you know, I don't deal with it this long, so they'll just stay with you. But I'm talking about heaven here on earth. Amen. Don't you want a little taste of heaven on earth? Glory to God. Amen. That oneness is so important. That's why you fight married couples all the time. Amen. This is something every man need to understand real quick, because our nature is just so squirrely when it comes to the opposite sex, that if you don't fix that and renew your mind before you get married, you'll still be running around, undercover. You think you're undercover. You know, the cover always get, you know what, the cover always get pulled off. You could be undercover for a while, but the cover will, sometimes it takes 10 years, but the cover will get pulled off. Amen. So just do the right thing. Understand, see, if you just understand your nature and then renew your mind with the word of God and then make your body obey. Amen. Because if it was up to many brothers, they'd be like David. You don't have 9, 10 wives. But that's asking a little bit too much. Glory to God. I know you think you can handle 9 or 10 wives, but you can't. Somebody gonna get neglected. Can't love 9, 10 things equally. Somebody gonna get neglected. John chapter 5, verse 19. Somebody needed to hear that. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, or truly, truly. Glory to God. He says, I say unto you that the Son can do nothing of himself, But what he seeth the Father do, for that which soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Remember that oneness that I was just talking about? That's that what Jesus said, I don't do nothing that the Father don't want me to do. I'm not here trying to fulfill my agenda. This is the Father's agenda. Amen. And that's what happens in church. You know, a lot of people trying to fulfill their agenda. And so churches don't become as great as they can. They don't realize that the agenda has already been set from here on out but I got my own agenda. If I do this for a while, I get a little experience, then I'm gonna run off and start me some. Now it's okay if that's what God told you to do. Just be honest about it when you first come. Amen. But we have our own little secret agendas, or I'm gonna join something because I like this girl in the choir, so I'm gonna join the choir because she in the choir. So your agenda all messed up. You ain't got to get in the choir to just ask her to go out. Amen. Why you got to go through all this undercover choir stuff? You finna mess the choir up because your motive is not right. You're not up there to praise God. You trying to get next to Shanae. Glory to God. Make sure your agenda is right. Why, you want to be an elder? Why you want to be an elder? Well, because you let them close and they, they in charge of, they in charge of calling members and they just do a whole lot of stuff. They be praying for people. I think I could do that. Well, that's what's your motive? Well, people see us. Okay, there you go. Your motive is not right. Why do you want to do what you want to do? Amen. Or why don't you do what you're supposed to do? Because of your agenda. I don't feel like doing that. It's like we had a buddy one time. He was on the Boston Celtics. It was only like 4 or 5 minutes left in the game. Wouldn't go in the game. Told me, there ain't enough time for me to do nothing. One of the saddest stories that I know of. And the guy that was ahead of him, John Havlicek, retired the next year. He would have been the man. Amen. But see, when your mind is not renewed with the word of God, and your mind is not right, you do stuff that don't make sense, that's cost you. Got him off of his whole destiny track. Never been the same since. Never been the same since. It's just sad. Sad, sad, sad. But let's get this oneness like the Father, like Jesus had with the Father. Amen. So Jesus also instructed the disciples. Remember in Acts 1, he instructed the disciples, to wait. To be filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he wanted them to be empowered with something dynamic, because he was not going to be there to be with them anymore, but the Holy Spirit will carry on the mission of God. Amen. Amen. And so if we are going to witness effectively as a church, we must be just like these disciples. We have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost will tell you, will quicken you to hurting people, or who, you'll pick somebody out that need prayer. They may be standing on the periphery. Ain't nobody see them, but the Holy Spirit can direct you to that person, and they need it more than anybody else. You can't just be going out there on your own power. If the disciples, if Jesus' disciples need the Holy Ghost, what do we need? We need the Holy Ghost too, saints of God. Amen. So to be effective witnesses, we must be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's why, saints of God, let's stop playing around. Every adult in this church ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Let's stop playing around with it. Amen. Stop playing around with it. If I do a show of hands now, most of the elders, not elders, but most of the people, well, many of the people, quite a few of the people, are not filled with the Holy Ghost. And it's for a whole bunch of different reasons. Well, I don't understand. Well, you should be getting a little better understanding of it all, what we've been going over with. No, you just refuse to do it because, you haven't heard a whole lot of lies, but the truth was, I'm telling you the truth. Amen. Amen. What you heard is just with somebody's words. We are bringing this out of the word. And believe me, teenagers, young adults, if you want to have a long life, you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because all of this stuff going around, all of these sexual diseases. Hey, I don't care how pretty she look. You don't know what she got. I don't care whether he look like Denzel. You don't know what he got. Amen. You have to be filled with the Holy Ghost or you'll mess your life up. A lot of folks got stuff that they wish they never would have got involved with folks. It's not like, you know, when I was a teenager, they had that stuff around, you know, 3 days. 3 days of some penicillin, you straight. Ain't got that no more. They got graveyard stuff now. Glory to God. That's the truth. Amen. So, church, we got to start drawing on the power of the Holy Ghost. We can't just do it in our own power. We got to stop playing around. Every musician ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Every singer ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Every usher ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Every teacher ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Stop. It's time to stop playing around. How long are we going to wait? If we want a great church, if we want a church that every seat is full, it takes the power of God. It takes signs and wonders. It takes the gifts of the Spirit, and then it even takes miracles. You let one or two miracles happen, you'd have to be at church at 7 a.m. to get in. Glory to God. It's up to us. Ain't up to God, it's up to us. Look at your neighbor and say, are you holding us back? Say, are you the one that's holding us back? Glory to God. Stop holding us back. Mark chapter 2. Let's go to Mark chapter 2, please. Holy Spirit is so powerful. I want to know Him more and more. In Mark chapter 2, verse 5, says this, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto them, the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, they came to Jesus with what they brought with somebody that was sick of the palsy. And then all of the naysayers, all of the quote unquote religious folks talking about, well, who is he that can forgive sins? So they have made a whole mess out of it. And then one time Jesus heals somebody on the Sabbath day. And then they made a whole big to-do out of that, talking about, you know, you don't heal on the Sabbath day. If I'd have been Jesus, I would have asked him, well, what day you heal on? No days. Glory to God. And so just like now they had it then, you know, folks that was just religious only was not caring about whether people was getting free. All they were caring about their positions. They had the best seats. People were bringing them, you know, food and gifts. That's all there was. They were really not caring about people. And we got folks just like that now. So verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto them, the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But when there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And look at Jesus. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason you these things in your heart? Glory to God. Verse 9, whether it is easier to say of the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up that bed and walk. And so he says, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, He said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go away into thine house. And the word of God says in verse 12, and immediately he arose, he did what Jesus said. He took up his bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed. They were all what? And glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. In other words, we ain't never seen nothing like this before. This man probably had this condition probably most, if not all, his life. Ain't nothing too hard for God. All, you know, we cut God off because a lot of times we have something so long and we'll just say, this can't be fixed. That's a lie. Do you think that you know, with God, it doesn't matter whether it's a headache or cancer? Do you think when it's cancer, God be saying, man, oh man, oh man, that's a hard one there? No. It is no different than a headache with God. Amen. That same healing power that'll drive out a headache, will drive out cancer, will drive out arthritis, rheumatism, diabetes, and everything else, if we start allowing the ministry of the Holy Ghost in our lives, connect us. Remember, we started with this way back, saying that we got to get closer to God. The Holy Spirit can do that for us, can get us closer to God. That's what we want. Saint, we want the church to be full every Sunday, every seat, every Sunday. Amen. And we can do it. Amen. If the majority of us surrender to the Holy Ghost and allow the Holy Ghost to minister to us. And we watch and we will be the recipients of the fruit that grows on that tree. Thank you, Lord God. Now let's go back to John chapter 5. See, Jesus used that miracle to validate that he was God. He was God in the flesh. Amen. They're talking about who can forgive sins but God. He was God, but he was God in the flesh. Folks were so confused. They say, we ain't never seen that like this before. Glory to God. Sent from God. God has sent us on assignments too. If we get close enough and start listening, tell us what to do. He'll tell us exactly which area to go outreaching in. He'll give the outreach team the right tools, the right methods, and Cosby lined up. The police have to come around here to direct traffic. Cosby lined up folks coming here to get prayed on outreach. Amen. A lot of folks, they need help. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse 19. We're going to read on. I know we read this before, but we stopped. 19 says, and then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you that the Son of Man can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath commanded all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father which has sent him. So we, once again, you've heard me say this many a times about delegated authority. A lot of people are in bad shape because they don't understand delegated authority. They'll disrespect the elders. And you got to understand, you start looking at the chain of command, you messing with God. Amen. And that's why you'll find people just broke all the time, because they won't do the right thing. They got to run their mouth. They got to have it their way. You got to do it your way. We've had people that wouldn't usher because you had to wear a tie. What kind of mess is that? Look at your neighbor and say, what kind of mess is that? Goodness, can't wear ties. Amen. We got folks that will do something, but they want to do it under their own term. I'll do it if I could do it my way. No. Amen. You don't go in the army and talk about, I'm going to be in the army, but I'm going to do it my way. Yes, that's what you think. You're going to spend all your time in prison in the army. They going to think you was in Iraq. No, you're going to be in Leavenworth. But we come to church, we just, we get rebellious. Folks in prison, they tell you when to eat. You eat then, tell you when to go to sleep. You go to sleep then, tell you when to cut the lights out, you cut the lights out. Then people get in church, they want to do, folks been running me all my life. Ain't nobody running me no more. Well, you picked the wrong place to rebel. You should have rebelled in prison or wherever. Don't come in the house of God trying to mess it up. Let's go to verse 30. Thank you, Lord. Same chapter. Look what Jesus said in verse 30. My goodness. He says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. There's that oneness. We can't do nothing without the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's what's keeping us going. Amen. And even though we're not as powerful as we should be, that's what's keeping the lifeblood in this church, is that we, some folks understand that it is the Father and doing His will that's keeping us where we should be. Amen. But we ought to be much better than we are doing. All of us, including me. Amen. I ain't throwing no rocks. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bear witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you may be saved. He was a... talking about John, he was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. So John was the kind of like a way maker. Amen. And he understood that. Amen. Can you imagine you do a ministry? I forgot how long John lived, and just pass the torch off and never to be heard from again. Most folks will say, I done did all this work. I ain't passing no torch. You can stay over here. I'm going to set up something over here. No, we got to be about the Father's business. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Go to Mark. Got a couple more scriptures, then we're going to close. Might get y'all on time for the buffet. See, the Father validated Jesus' ministry so that people will believe. He's validated the church. So it's up to us to preach that gospel so that people will believe. Teach that gospel so that people will believe. Mark chapter 16. We're there. In verse 17, and he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Who do the sign follow? Them that believe. He says, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall what? Cast them out. Not play with them and be talking with them. Talk about what's your name. Cast them out. Don't be getting in no conversation with no devil because you know he's going to lie. What's your name? Leroy. Is that the truth? No, that's a lie, man. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In whose name? In Jesus' name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick will get worse. They shall recover. Notice what it says, recover. What does that mean? It means it's a process. That means you won't necessarily see stuff instantly all the time. When the gifts are in operation, a lot more instantaneous stuff happens. But faith is always available. The gifts are not always, the Holy Spirit does not allow us to operate in the gifts all the time, but our faith is operable 24/7. And so that's why you have to depend on your faith. And as you do that, then we can, then we all will be allowed to flow in the gifts, which we desperately need. I'm talking about desperately. We desperately need a consistent flow of the gifts of the Spirit in Victory Christian Center Church. Amen. That's the truth. Hebrews. God validated Jesus, and we need validation. Thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. I was laughing about that scripture I was reading. That was wrong. Hebrews chapter 2. Are we there? First four verses. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. You've heard a lot of things this morning, saints. You ought to do what? You ought to give earnest heed to it, to the things that you have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If we do not meditate on the word and allow it to renew our mind and our minds align itself, minds meaning soul, align itself with our recreated human spirit, then we will not see any changes in our life. The moment we start renewing our mind with the word of God, not letting stuff slip all the time, our soul now aligns itself up with our 100% totally pure spirit, human spirit, and now we can flow consistently in the blessings of God. And the flesh can't do nothing about it. So that's why it's so important for us to hear and hear and hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing and hearing. We got to be doers of the word. We got to hear that word. So important, saints of God. Don't let it slip. Don't let it slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divine miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. This is what we want, saints of God. God bearing witness here at Victory Christian Center with signs and wonders. You say, what is a wonder? It's something that have you wondering. What happened? How'd that happen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And with divine miracles. How many of y'all like to see some divine miracles? And gifts of the Holy Ghost. All of those things are possible. It's up to us. Where our desire is, when you have a strong desire for these things, underline that scripture, highlight it, and start desiring those things here at Victory Christian Center. The more of us that desire this, the stronger we get to pursue it. And our pursuit, God will reward those. Amen. God will reward us. So it's up to us. So you got to help me out. I can't just be the only one that want it. Amen. That's why we need mature Christians so that they will want it. And these baby Christians will get on board real fast. Thank you, Lord. Last scripture, Acts chapter 4. So the word was confirmed with signs and wonders. I don't want to, you know, it's past time for me just preaching the word of God, but we want it to be confirmed with signs and wonders going on in these seats. Folks sitting in the seat, and all of a sudden, they feel like hot honey pouring down their head. Glory to God, the healing power of God. And they wake up, and they'll just jump up and say, Pastor, you know, my foot is healed, my arm is healed, my leg is healed, my heart is healed. Glory to God. That's what God is looking for. That's what we want. Glory to God. We'll stop the service for you for that. Amen. But we got to protect the house. Let nobody come in and just mess the service up. And to be real careful with prayer meetings. You know, you have people to come in and try to mess up a prayer meeting in the morning. Amen. Y'all maybe start bringing y'all pistols or something, running out. Everybody say, they hear this, tick, tick, about four of those. I'm just playing. Can y'all see Mother Colleen and them with pulling out some blocks? I'd back out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4. We're going to close with Acts. See, well, let's just stop talking about God all the time. And it's got to be some demonstration and wonders. Amen. We passed the talking stage. Acts chapter 4, once again, we'll close with this. Let's start with 16, and we'll go to 31. And he was saying, what shall we do to these men? For, you know, they had Peter and John. You know, this started actually in Acts chapter 3 when the man got healed by the gate. Was it the gate? Yeah. The lame man. And so this is the, you thought people would have been happy about this, but they weren't happy about it. Peter and John actually got arrested. And just some wild stuff was going on with that early church. But boy, they were not scared. Saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny. In other words, they say, hey, you know, this is a bona fide miracle. We can't lie and say it didn't happen because it did happen. But that it spread no further among the people. So, cause now they're worried about their theology. They're worried about, you know, what Rome gonna say and all these other things. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth no more to no man in this name. In other words, let's threaten them, you know, not to use the name of Jesus no more. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Amen. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, glory to God, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. In other words, they're almost saying, we can't help it. Glory to God. We gotta say it. We gotta say it. Glory to God. You're talking about that's boldness. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they may punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, of whom the miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that which with all boldness that they may speak their word. In other words, they say, Father, they threaten us, but grant us boldness. We ain't giving up. We ain't giving up. By stretching forth thine hand to heal. And that signs and wonders, there go again, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of that holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place, glory to God, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. My. That's how the early church got started, thanks to God. Boy, if they was on fire, we ought to be blazing by now in the 20th century. Glory to God. But what we've done is that we've let people teach signs and wonders out of the church. We've let people preach and teach tongues and the gifts of the Spirit out of the church. And church has just become a social place. Where people just dress well and drive well and get together to eat and fellowship and not do the work of Jesus. Nothing wrong with driving well. Nothing wrong with eating well. Nothing wrong with fellowshipping. But all of those are side things. We are and must be about the work of God. Praise God. I hope y'all got blessed this morning. Saints. Thank you, Lord God. Elder Don, would you come and close us out, sir?